Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most influential and listened to podcast in auto detailing. Welcome to the community.
Hi, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. I'm Marshall, that's Nick and Brian. You can find us at hypercleanstore.com or go to the Hyperclean Specialist Group. That's on Facebook. Brian loves to be there. Nick loves to be there, and I do too. It's a great place to be. Look always forward to everybody's suggestions, comments, pictures, and what's going on in their local area. Brian, man, thanks so much for joining us again. Are you drinking? I am. I'm drinking a F5. You know, as we get into springtime, there are things here. And Nick, I'm ready for you to be here next week.
That's a fruity IPA for all those wondering out there.
That's a caliber five fruity.
That's a fruity IPA.
The weather, right? This is the fun part of where everybody talk about, but I'm so excited for Nick to be here next week because we get that 80 degree day followed by the 50 degree day. Springtime in Oklahoma. What does that give us a chance for, Nick? Hey, twisters and fun times in the
just never know.
When the two temperatures meet and the wind starts swirling. So I'm drinking an F5 grapefruit IPA, and that's from Coop Ale Works.
Brian, what about you? F5 from Brock Lesnar's finishing move in WWE and fruitied it up.
Just destroyed the whole move.
Destroyed the whole deal.
I'm doing the Arnold Palmer again, the spiked Arnold Palmer.
Oh, yeah. I got to get one of those.
Yeah, Dinosaur Detail, and one of our customers, she got me hooked on these, and they're pretty delicious. I mean,
they go down smooth. They go down smooth.
Like a nooner. I mean, you drink a 12-pack, and you're like, well, there goes my day.
I hear you with that.
A 12-pack? I mean, do you also go get insulin? Because, geez.
Oh, no. Nooner's no sugar, dude.
Not a nooner, but an 12 of those Arnold Palmers. Woof.
They've got some stuff in them, yeah. Yeah, they're a little sugary.
Well, they definitely do. Hey, I was leaving a car wash the other day, and not that we're going to be detailers going after car wash guys, but, you know, I was leaving a car wash, dropped off some stuff, and, you know, I love the guys that'll wave, and I love the guys that want to come chat, and that, right? There's some of them that do, as you guys know, and there's some that don't really care. But these guys that do, these guys that love to be in cars, love to be around cars, they're just happy to be with a job and working. We can all appreciate them. But I can also go for a second when I think about leaving and waving at these guys and seeing at an age of where they're at. And I go, man, what a great opportunity, huh? Not that we want to always use that word, but you just go, wait a second. How's there what? There's a dude at a car wash. And I go, well, our industry, as I look at it from a big picture, our industry is just continually to explode. And what these guys have are something that I know you, Brian, as we've talked, Nick, as we talk, there's just so much many more chances, so many more things that these guys get to do. What, when you guys hear that, and we're not going to go down that old man rabbit trail and go through all that, but I think of the cool part of generational. Of Brian, I think you shared this story, right? Wasn't it something to do with your dad? Like, very first car you cleaned a long time ago. Did I have something to do with your dad? I'm not sure. I could be speaking out of turn.
I mean, I used to clean cars at my home, like, you know, with my dad's stuff and then friend stuff and stuff like that. I have a photo like of me cleaning cars when I was like five or something.
Cool part about us is we got to be kind of second generational. Sorry. What we're seeing now is third, fourth gen, like this long tail that's starting to really happen with generational people that care about cleaning cars. To me, when I think of it, I go, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's tough though, because like you said, it's generational. So those techniques and processes have been embedded from your father, your grandfather, and they might be, most likely they're pretty terrible. No different than Nick's talked about before, going to a car show and these guys have $100,000 hot rods and they're wiping them down with the whole California duster and, you know, just scratching them up and doing this. But that's how they were. I mean, you were kind of raised, you know, you got your bucket of, you know, Mr. Clean soap and, you know, wash the car and clean it up with what some dishcloths and, you know, that's what you did. So it is hard to approach people like that because they are pretty, embedded in their process, even though it might be completely wrong. And it's tough to tell somebody in their 40s or 50s that you've been doing this wrong the whole time on your $80,000, you know, Corvette or whatever the car might be. It's a tough conversation a lot of times, but they do care. And they're, you know, as far as like selling them products can be a lot easier, but selling them as far as the detail can be a little tougher, but people do care. You see a lot more care in cars than you ever did, I think.
Nick, do you think people get stuck in their ways like that? Or is that, right. That's an easy one. People do get stuck. Do you think it's also, they get stuck in their car ownership, the way their dad owned cars? I'm a Jeep guy because my dad had a Jeep Wagoneer, which I have. Like, now suddenly, are you excited about driving the Fatty Caddy next week? Or are you going with the doors off? What are you doing?
It'll be called Big Daddy's Caddy when I'm in it. Look, man, I think one of the coolest parts about where we're at now is, like you said, man, you could be three or four generations deep of guys that did something to care for their cars, right? And that is a positive. It's like why there's so many more Yankees fans than Devil Rays fans, right? Because it's generational.
Hats across the world. The number one hat that you see around the world about America is the New York Yankees.
Yeah, it's generational, right? And that's a big deal. And we now have that being built into car care, being built into detailing, but it means some negatives too. Like Brian said, you know, a guy's been taught a certain way, he thinks that's the way. And hopefully the internet breaks through that, but we also know there's red flags about that as well. But the coolest part is that now you could realistically, I mean, just in our own households, right? You know, Brian, Marty, you guys have some older kids. I mean, think about that. That's two generations just in your house that you could teach how to care for a car, right? That wasn't necessarily possible, you know, just a few generations ago, right? Like that, you would have been the first one to do it. And so you had to learn the basics, and the basics back then were a little rougher, and then hopefully it got better. And that's why you see so many old brands do so well for so long, because if you were the first in the door, man, it means something. You know, like Tesla being the first electric car company, it means something. They don't even have to build the best car. They just get the benefit of being in the door. And so, yeah, I think that part is great, right? We now have way more people in all different ages that care about taking care of their cars. So the number is just going up and up and up.
And it's almost, I've been listening to this book called, now that I mentioned that I'm listening to a book, I lose the mind. Oh, Compound Effect. So it's almost in a sense of what he talks about, things can compound on top of itself. A lot of it we're seeing inside. If we'll take a big picture look at it, we can see that. And that many of us maybe not understand that, but let's throw out this stat, right? We've got some meetings next week, Nick, that are with some high execs. We got them with chemists. We got them from all over the world of people that are wanting to pick our brains, or we're wanting to pick their brains, because this is the stat that I read, 5.08 billion with a B by the end of 2025 is the car care product industry. Let's say that again, 5.06 billion. Huh. So, not only is it generational that it's compounded itself, but it's gotten to the point now of where we're going, hey, us living today, we're in times that we haven't seen before. Why? You know, why do you guys think that suddenly we've seen this big immersive, because it's blown out of expectations. People that are putting out these stats now, stats they said years ago were much lower, but suddenly one stat that we'd see, oh, we projected it at 4, now they're at 5. We projected, like, it's going at a, what, Nick, is that a 30% increase?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing 30. I mean, we had some years where they saw a 50% increase. We know auto parts stores are seeing thousands of percent of growth year over year in the car appearance aisle, which is what they call it. I think people really have to understand something. We all get very frustrated as professionals with the internet, but think of the billions of views globally auto detailing has had on something like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. It's just more in the space now. So, you know, you used to have car shows. Marty and I were on a call earlier today about this. You used to have car shows every Saturday morning. They'd come on and you'd see guys fixing cars.
Television.
So that became part of the car ether, right? Like that's, so people learned how to change their brakes or, you know, fix an alternator or whatever. They saw guys building hot rods. And so that just has a longer amount of time in people's brains. But I don't think people have any idea how many billions of views detailing related content has gotten just year over year, in 5 years, in 7 years. You know, you got some of these guys have been on YouTube for 10, 12 years. I mean, you could be talking about a trillion views. I mean, who really knows? But that's really where this all stems from. And then it just got more and more people involved, right? From young to old. You see all kinds of people that are, you know, taking in that content. We see it in our own. Like if people saw the watch hours of how many people are on our YouTube page, which is just getting its start, they would be like, how many hours? I mean, thousands upon thousands, 50, 100, 200,000 hours watching just our content. You look at it and you go, look, man, this is where it came from. The internet did so much for detailing, and there is a bunch of negative, but the positive is that's where the growth is.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that. So Mr. Walter's throwing his hat on social media, the internet, and all that. All right, Brian, what about you?
Well, I think it's the one opportunity somebody has to work on their car now. Like Nick said, there used to be shows about changing your brakes and doing, you know, simple things to your car that you could do. It's not something most people can do anymore. It's pretty hard to even change your oil on cars anymore. You know, you really need a certain amount of tools. You need to know this. It's not like it used to be universal where you could pretty much change oil in any car. You know, drain plugs down here, you know, put the oil in up here. Here's a filter, but it's now there's skid plates. So you got to take this off. You got to do this. There's got to be this tool. So detailing is that one thing that if you are in the cars and you want to say tinker on your car, it's something you can still do fairly easily. And it's more available than it ever was. When we grew up, you didn't go to the parts store. There might be one shelf of waxes and some cleaners. You had some bleach white and this and that, and maybe a soap or possibly two and three waxes. And that was about it. Now there's an aisle. I mean, you go in any of these parts stores, aisle stuff. So there's a lot more choices and opportunity to learn, like Nick said, on YouTube or videos, and whether it's even going to brand sites, you know, to see like what they recommend, what they do. You know, there's so many forums that guys get on forums. My dad's on a camper forum for these, like, these 24-foot Winnebagos. And they have a detailing section. They talk about, what do you guys use to detail? What do you, you know, and most of these forums have that. These people want to do this themselves. They want to, you know, how can I do this? And because they have time. People do have more time than they probably did before. You know, when I grew up, parents didn't have much time. There wasn't, you know, we weren't all kinds of free time in the evening and doing this and doing that on the weekends. Majority of time you were having to do a lot of work around the house or something like that. People now sub a lot out and they're getting their grass cut by somebody. They're doing this. So detailing your car is something you can do on the weekend or in the evening. And it's fairly easy to do and learn. So I think that's a big part of all these products being able to move so easily. And there's the ease of the products. It's not a hard process. You know, it's all you got to do is spray this on or wipe this on and, you know, put this on and wash it and you're getting a pretty good result.
Could possibly the ASMR that ASMR detailing and watching all these YouTube videos actually then push people to go out and want to experience it themselves?
I mean, I get excited watching some of them.
I think the internet, look, man, it's done the same thing for cleaning houses. It's done the same thing for all of this, right? I mean, look at how many people are into, you know, cooking shows. Think about that you would ever think that there was a food network. Like, and it's massive. Guys are making $100 million contracts on being a host on Food Network. You're seeing guys with billions of views on their own channel doing a cooking show. Anything that you can take control of, because like you said, I mean, go work on a car with, you know, that you paid $95,000 for and it has $80,000 worth of electronics on it. What's the guy or gal going to do in their driveway to most of those cars, right? Especially what if you have a Tesla? What are you even going to do? All you can really do is detail it. you know, you're not going to be wrenching on it. You're not going to take the battery pack out. You know, that's not going to happen. And so I think Brian brings up a good point. And this is one way that somebody can interact with their car. And for everybody that wasn't there, I mean, those waxes that came in a tin were way harder than most ceramic coatings are today. I mean, you get one of those and you let it dry improperly. You lay it on too thick. I mean, you were having yourself a weekend. I mean, that went from I was going to be here for an hour to now I'm here for 10 hours trying to get this caked on mess off. Plus, I got it on my trim. Plus, I got this. Plus, it stained this. I mean, it is the ease of products. I mean, I just think it's everything, man. I mean, we love to bang on detailing and the internet and where we're at, but it's never been a better time. It just hasn't. And that's a good thing.
So you mentioned there's something there. It's everything, right? And sure, that's the easy one. I'm gonna hit you on that one, right? Yeah, you can't say that, Nick. It's everything. That's too easy. That's like, hey, tell me your story. Like, you can't do it. I'm not gonna allow you. But saying, you know, specifically about, you know, internet, and then Brian, I love that you brought that up. I didn't really even think about that, but having so many varieties allows us the opportunity to go and do something that we really enjoy. I was talking to my stepson the other night as we were trying to kick the soccer ball around and talking about all the games that people play now versus what we used to play. So hearing you say that, I go, yeah, it makes sense. You know, like we actually as a society are seeking now how to spend our free time better. Like we now have more free time. We get the luxury of getting to have free time. And so I think there's a big push for a lot of us of seeking this desire of, okay, if I have these hours, how do I spend it the best way? I think overall as a society, there's a lot of us headed that direction. And with the opportunity of having so many different products to choose from, it gives me this, well, basically free canvas to go out and enjoy myself. Brian, that does start to pose a little bit of a problem though, correct? Because, well, with so much variety, I can just go around and grab whatever I want, right? Or do I now have even more time to spend deciphering what I should use? And if I do, it goes back to something the three of us have talked about is, well, how do you decide how to use which one? So we're not going to go down that direction, but we're going to go in a direction that we've all seen on social. I can go into social media and ask people, Brian, but there's people that'll start to scare me, right? There's people that'll start to tell me, oh, you can't, right? And they almost want to use fear to push me away from things. Is it because they got the golden ticket? Is it because they have the jewel and they want to scare people away from getting the treasure, right? Is this a treasure hunting game now? And those that know where the treasure is, they got to scare people away from following the map?
I look at a lot of this like, we'll say the people that are big on church. You know, they come out and they're big church, this, that, Bible beaters. You know, I'm all about doing this. I'm all about the good, blah, blah, blah. They're generally not the best people to be around. And that's the way I look at a lot of this. These guys are like, or gals, or we want to help the industry. We want to help people. We want to do this. We want to do what's right for everybody. We want to, you know, we're trying to support people and get them in the right direction and help them with pricing and this and that. But man, they're the first ones. If you stray from what they say, they get really bothered. You're not doing it right. You can't do it that way. You can't do this, that. And a lot of times it's a simple question. Like you said, it's not nobody saying I'm doing it this way and that's it. Somebody will bring something up. And people will be like, oh, if you do that, or, you know, you got to do it this way, or just false information. I watched somebody go on about, you know, reclaiming water this past week and saying that's everywhere in the country. You have to reclaim water. You have to take your water to a plant and you have to do this and that. And that's just what it is. And you're going to have to go waterless. It's what they do in the country. But that's not true. It's not true information. And this guy was just asking a simple question, what to do in a situation about an HOA. And it's not fair to guy might have been fairly new, scare him to thinking that, well, you got to change your whole process, or you got to buy this, or you got to buy that, when he just wanted a little answer to a simple question about a situation, which wasn't that big of a deal, but to tell somebody a certain thing, it's just not true. I feel like a lot of detailers feel like if you're not spending the money they spend on equipment or their, your business, then they're not as good as you, or, you know, you got to do this, this and that, or
why
you're
do
just not going to be a good
that,
detail.
Brian? Like, why do people use scare, like, and fear? Why is that?
I think some people are just intimidated. They, even though the person could be on the other side of the country, they feel like if this person could get as busy as them or something, somehow it's going to affect their business. And it's very strange. I don't have a good answer for that as far as why people do it, other than it's kind of a mindset thing also, some sort of,
you know,
want to be the smartest guy in the room.
You want, like the way you said that about, listen, I love that, you know, it's, we're on Good Friday and you're going after the church people, man. I'm all about this. Like,
he's about to rise and Brian's taking shots.
I'm just like, look, here's the deal.
Hey, he almost got kicked out of that group too, which is even better.
Such a
Brian was giving his opinion Easter week and almost got clipped out of a Facebook group. Brian, I got to get on a plane, so let's be real careful with the God talk here, right? I need to make it to Tulsa.
But there is a lot of fear in that world to kind of push people in a direction. You know, so
think back to COVID. Got to wear a mask. Got to wear a mask.
I think it's
all over the place.
I think people still are always trying to justify what they do. Let's be honest. You can go with a wash bucket, a gallon of soap, and three cleaners, and a couple towels, and you can go wash cars. It's not that this whole thing isn't that big of a deal. And I feel like it's no different than the guy trying to set these crazy prices for ceramic coatings and then explain, like Nick talked about the other day, well, we got to do two steps. You know, we got to wet sand and we got to do this, blah, 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 blah. Because everyone's trying to justify that price or just their job. And I feel like they want to make it clear to everybody, oh, well, you can't just do what I do. You got to have this and you got to do this and you got to do this. I mean, you can't do what I do just that easily, which in fact you truly can. It's not that expensive. It's not that hard, you know, to start a business legitimately and do well and work your way up. And I don't know why it's such an issue when somebody, you know, yes, there are cheaper products you can start with and work into a, once you learn, you know, oh, I want to use this. I want to use that. I want to use this. Okay. These guys said possibly use that. Okay. And it's not a big deal. But I think a lot of people get offended.
I think most of us can see that in any, you know, if we're going to think of professional, right? We're talking pro detailer world of Facebook groups. We can see that happen all the time. And your reason, or basically in your opinion, your opinion of why they do that is fear that they're themselves are going to miss out. Somebody's going to take from them. Like, you think most detailers are literally that anxious about their own business and they fear other people taking from them. So they want to share this like bad information out there or false information to create fear in the marketplace.
Well, I think a lot of them want to be the smartest guy in the room. And then the other part is, yeah, they don't want anybody to try it. They're fearful that someone's going to take their, you know, spotlight. Well, this guy might get big as you know, maybe people start listening to him or something. I don't know. It's a strange thing, but we see it in the industry.
Oh, we do.
I mean,
absolutely.
People are terrified in every, I mean, yeah. You see it constantly on forums. This guy came and started washing cars next to me or, you know, this or that. It's rampant in the industry as far as, you know, detailers being nervous about losing a job or something when there's thousands and thousands of cars everywhere.
Fear, right? Fear's an interesting word, and using that against each other. So in a sense, your theory is a little bit like, Nick, what's that martial art where you take something, you put it back? What's that? It's not taekwondo. It's what you practice. What do you practice?
Jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, right? Like taking momentum and moving it back. Their momentum of taking something and pushing it back is fear and negativity because that's what they do. I guess if we could look under the hood, right? Always love that analogy. Look under the hood of their life, in your opinion, and listen, I'm going to fall in that same camp. I think there's a lot of people that fear that they're not actually going to make it, or that they don't actually have the golden ticket, so they want to push to other people that they could never achieve it, but ultimately they don't really think that they've achieved it.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't use fear or scare. I would say it's know-it-all. They think they know everything. This is why we caution people that follow us, be really careful what you read and watch on the internet. I think everybody wants to be an expert, but doesn't want to put in the time that it takes. It's like, you know, Brian brought up this, you know, a group moderator telling everybody needs to reclaim water. Well, I live in the desert and we don't have to reclaim anything. I don't think Brian has to reclaim water where he's at, and he's right near a waterway.
So it wasn't about reclaiming what?
Reclaiming water.
Like water. You can't let any water run off.
You can't let water run off.
A runoff. Not that you actually reuse it.
Well,
no, you just have to reclaim it. Sometimes you have to reuse it. Sometimes you have to dispose of it. And again, this is very select municipalities.
Right.
Right. Parts of California, this has been talked about for years. I know a million detailers in California. None of them reclaim water. Supposedly they're going to get these big fines. Nobody's ever been fined. It all sounds good. Right. But in this instance, it was a guy that's in a specific place that he has a specific rule, and he thinks that rule pertains to all 50 states and the rest of the world. Well, it doesn't. So he didn't do that to scare somebody. He did that to act like a know-it-all. That's my opinion. Okay. What we see is I got tagged into a post on a Facebook group by Dale, and I appreciate that Dale did, because there was so much bad information on this post. By the time I was tagged in and Dale said, "Hey, have you ever seen this before?" And he tags me, there was 95 or 96 comments already. And I read through all of them, skimmed through all of them. And at this point in time, it was about pressure washers damaging PPF. All 96 comments said pressure washers don't damage PPF. I immediately put up a picture and said, "Here's an example." I got another 1,000 examples of it. Pressure washers cause damage to PPF every day and twice on Sunday, all over the country, all over the world. 96 people weighed in on that post, and 96 people before me said, "No, I pressure wash PPF. Nothing ever happened." Okay, just because nothing ever happened to you doesn't mean it doesn't happen all the time. So people aren't trying to scare somebody. They're trying to act like they know what they're talking about. This is, to me, the keyboard warrior thing. We got a Porsche video, the white Porsche we did, Marty, that had the hammered wheels. Okay. You can see when we're cleaning the wheels, all the dirt coming off that wheel. Somebody leaves a comment and says, "You're saying the word neglected. What's that, a couple weeks of brake dust?" Why is he saying that? He's not trying to scare the next person. He's trying to act like a know-it-all. It was much more than a couple weeks of brake dust. You could tell, if you know what you're looking at, it's more than a couple weeks of brake dust. You can tell that the wheel's been neglected, but this guy wants to show the world he knows everything. Okay. Instead of just watching a video and swiping to the next video, he wants to give his 2 cents. I think we're in a world where everybody feels they're entitled and they should give their 2 cents on every subject, regardless if they have an opinion about it. And for anybody that thinks this is just detailing, get into a carpentry group, get into a plumbing group, get into any of this stuff where somebody shows something. These people go crazy too. "You don't know what you're doing. This guy could have been a 40-year master plumber." And three idiots on the first three comments are going to be like, "You don't know what you're doing." It's not scare. It's that they think they actually know what they're talking about. That's the danger. And that's what we've actually warned about for 3 years on this podcast. Hey, man, I don't know anybody's credentials, right? I don't know who that guy on the internet is. I don't know if they're actually doing this stuff. That doesn't mean it's not valuable, but it's very low value, and you got to take things with a grain of salt. There was a guy that was going to walk away from this PPF damage that he could have caused, yet I don't know if he did or not. He could have caused it. He was going to argue with the customer, and the customer is 85% chance of being right. And he's getting egged on by 95 different people saying, pressure washers don't cause damage on PPF. First time I'm tagged in and I show one picture, here's damage from pressure washer on PPF. I mean, it happened.
Was that the one that looked like turbo nozzle hit it?
Yeah, it had like a perfect circle, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, I said in my post to the guy who then responded to me who had the post, I said, I have no idea to know if you actually did this or not. I'm not saying you did. I was asked if pressure washers can damage PPF. That's what I'm answering. I even had to reiterate to him because he wanted to argue me. I'm like, I'm not arguing with you, man. Maybe you didn't do this.
Right.
What everyone's saying is you can't damage PPF with a pressure washer. That's 100% inaccurate.
So we see all these posts, and I'm glad you guys bring these up because these are all of us, most of us that listen, we always are a part of groups. And we see all kinds of stuff getting thrown around. It actually is a little bit of a sign that, hey, the industry, the bigger it gets, right? The bigger our industry gets, actually, the more, let's just go ahead and call it, the more bullshit's going to be in the system. If we can think of, you know, when something isn't, there's a, let's just say the overall, I don't want to use that word value, Nick, because we destroyed that word a couple of weeks ago, but overall price tag, as we talked about, 5.08 billion. As that number grows, same as right back in the gold rush days of California to then Oklahoma, there's always going to be people trying to sell trinkets or sell shit that doesn't really do much for you because they just want to be a part, right? I think that is, to me, if I look at it, I go, man, I look at the industry and I see a lot of people just wanting to be a part. How they see that. You guys say, you know, I want to be a know-it-all or, you know, people want to fear them. Well, there's also people that they don't know any better than just be a part and I'm in this group or I'm with this organization or I'm a part of all that. And they feel belonging to something. So they just need to be themselves and tell other people. We've said it, Nick. This is a thing that people always ask. Well, what's wrong with sharing their opinion? What's wrong with them saying? What's wrong with it?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with somebody sharing their opinion. Nothing's wrong with the 95 people that told this guy improper information. Nothing's wrong with it, right? Like, I mean, we can't stop it. It's the internet. They're allowed to do what they want. That's been my stance from the beginning. Everybody's allowed to post what they want. That doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't mean that it holds any real value in the real world. Right? Everyone's allowed to say whatever they want. We're allowed to say on our platform what we want. We're allowed to use our Facebook page the way we want. We're allowed to do whatever, all of us, everybody listening is allowed to do what they want. This isn't just a professional conversation, though, because remember, you have a lot of prosumers out there that are weighing in all kinds of groups about caring for your car across the internet. We don't need to pick on the professional. We don't need to pick on the people that we are and think we're the only ones. I am telling you, the vast majority of people commenting on this stuff aren't actually doing this at a high level for a living. It's just not happening, okay? Anybody that you see consistently in multiple groups, from PPF groups to tent groups to this, that are commenting all the time and offering all this advice, you can damn bet that they're not the ones doing most of the work in the world. They're not the ones with big shops. They're not the ones with the experience. They may weigh in from time to time. We go into our own group and support the people that support us. And we do those things in things that we have a hand in, and we can foster a good group. If people go into the HyperClean Specialist group and analyze how that group is versus what you see in other detailing groups, it's night and day. It's not to toot our own horn. It's just night and day because we care about moderating good information. We care. I mean, I've had to step in on a couple posts where bad information has been said. Right? Not very often, but we've had to step in and say, no, man, don't do that.
All right. So you mentioned something there. You said high level. I want to pause there for a second. Brian, do you think most of the people that you interact with, most of the detailers, and listen, we're not putting anybody on the right, so I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'll answer the question too. Do you think most of the people that you interact with, and I'll go with most of the detailers that I've interacted with over the last decade, do we feel that most of them want to be at a high level? I'm gonna go ahead and answer from my side. I don't. I think most of them want to be at the level that makes them content, the level that gives them enough. And they could define that with, you know, I got this toy or I got this bar or I got this girl or I got this life or whatever it is in their world that they can define success, that's the level that they want to be at. What about you? Do you think most detailers want to go high level or are they at a different level?
I think they do. I honestly think they do. And I also think they've convinced themselves they are.
That they're already there, that they've already achieved that level.
Well, I think they, when you start off, you definitely, you want to be, you know, I want to just be this amazing detailer. I want to work on this crazy stuff, this and that. And then it starts trickling down a little bit because a lot of people don't either want to put the work in that gets to be high level or spend the money, the products. And we're not talking about a ton of money. We're talking maybe, you know, 20% more than they would have to spend on another product or whatever the case may be. And they do, like you kind of said, they are content and they want to get by. They want to have a certain amount of money. But after a while, they've convinced themselves, well, I'm doing the best I can really do. And there is no more, you know, want. I think when everybody starts off, they want to be like, I want to learn so much. I want to be the best. I want to be the best around this and that. Then it starts trickling down. It's like, oh, well, that takes work. And that takes a little bit of money and a little bit of commitment. And then it starts going, well, I'm pretty damn good. You know, I think I'm a dang good detailer.
And do you think most of us achieve a level of basically what you said there is how much work we're willing to do to get the results that we want? If we can put in X amount of effort and we can get this amount later, we're good then, right? Let me define that a little bit more. The guy made a comment on one of ours. Well, we clean 5 cars a day. Okay, man. Good for you, right? Like, and he needed to voice his opinion because he does 5 cars a day. There's detailers that would go, wow, man, that's incredible. And there's detailers that would go, shit, man, we clean 5 in an hour.
Right. Yeah, I think everybody's high level is different. I don't consider myself a high level detailer, I'll be honest with you, as far as, you know, I'm not a perfection detailer. I'm not, you know, going out here doing concourse detailing. That to me is high level detailing.
Okay. So you define, I apologize. That. I didn't mean to break in, but that's interesting. I haven't thought about it that way. So thank you for saying that. When I think of detailer and levels, I haven't really thought of skill set and how high. I've never wanted to go where Nick did.
Sure.
Never was in my radar. Never wanted to do that. Interesting. I haven't thought about it as level of detailer, meaning skill set.
My high level goal was to make money. That was, to me, a high level detailer is I'm successful or I'm still able to grow or I'm able to take on new things and, you know, grow a company. To me, that's a high level detailer. I'm able to run efficiently. I'm able to, you know, I know I'm using good products. I know I've got good processes. That to me is high level. Other guys, high level detailing is that, you know, I do concourse detailing and that's great. That's something I'll probably never get involved in. Never really wanted to want for. I just never had that desire to just polish on paint for hours and hours and hours. I wanted to make money and do a good job and put out a good product. I mean, I'm not saying we don't do good work, but as far as there's different, you know, tiers of high level detailing. Mine's always been just being successful, you know, and running a good shop. So
you define success. You mentioned money, but I mean, did you ever level yourself at as, you know, if I get to this level, I'm at this, do I get to, or it's just, yeah, it's, I want to be at high performance.
It's never enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an addiction. I mean, I don't care what it is. Once you are really doing this, nothing's enough. You want to go to the next level as far as, you know, I'm not saying it's all financial. It's, you know, whether it's more employees or just a bigger shop or this or that, or just more routes or whatever you're doing in your world of detailing, when you're really into this and you're committed to it, it's never enough. I mean, you are always thinking, how can I get bigger? No different than, you know, we started doing the retail of products. We started recently online sales. That's a new thing. That's more growth. You know, I could have just been sitting there and be like, well, we do good detailing. I'm just going to continue doing this. But I've always kind of wanted a little more.
And Nick, before you go, I think the way I've defined it, I guess and this is something Nick and I've talked about, he's always been the money too. When the way you said it, I took a moment to go, for me, it was, I did always think volume. I've shared the story of, you know, bending down and cleaning a lower rocker panel and going, ooh, my back. I don't think I'll be able to do this forever. I need to do more cars. How do I just do more cars? And that's what led me to the car wash, right? Like, that's what then led me eventually into products. How do I be just do more cars? How do I get in more involved with cars and getting them cleaned? Like, being a part of more. I like that. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, you got to separate out, you know, who are your customers? You know, what are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? I don't really get involved in who's a great detailer and who isn't. You know, that stuff's never mattered to me. I've never, you know, thought about this guy over here was the best detailer I ever saw, or this guy over here is not a great detailer. I think we a lot of people take it negatively when you say the word stay in your lane. You know, I just stayed in my lane. You know, I think there's a lot of people, and that's what you see, you know, going back to the internet comment world. A lot of people just don't want to stay in their lane. They don't want to realize where they're at in their whole journey in their business or as a detailer, or are they a really good detailer or could they get better? All three of us probably think at all times we can get better at everything we've done, everything we're doing, we can get better. I don't think that's the consensus. There's a lot of people. I mean, Brian will share, you know, experiences with his customers. We can share experiences, you know, through HyperClean and Brian Retailing, where you can't tell somebody anything. They've already think they're the best detailer in the world, and nobody's going to tell them differently. The vast majority of us that have had any success in this business are like, I could get better. We could tighten up our process. We could get a better finish on a car. We could lay PPF better. We could do a better tint job, whatever it is. The real professionals, the guys making money, they don't ever think they're the best in the world, best detailer to ever live, or, you know, that shit just doesn't do anything for me. And I think it's a really stupid way to look at the business. I've always just cared about one thing. Is my business growing? Is my team happy? Are we doing what our customers ask us to do? And that's where I've lived. I really have never thought about anything else of what this shop's doing, what service they're providing, whatever. I cared about acquiring customers. And like I always say on this podcast, man, you put business owner next to your name and you're telling me how great of a detailer you are, you're not a business owner. You're a detailer. I don't really look at myself as a detailer. I look at myself as a business owner. And so I have goals to my business that supersede whether somebody thinks I'm a great detailer or not, or somebody thinks I hold the polisher the way that I should, or that I give good or bad advice to people. I just do the best that I can, and that's the levels to all of this. The reason guys like Brian don't go into Facebook groups and act like a know-it-all is because he doesn't think he's a know-it-all. Now think about it. He's built a big company. He's been doing this over 25 years. He's got the experience, but that's not the guy that goes in and acts like a know-it-all. That's why we know we'll see people comment on posts, and all three of us will be like, that guy was just asking me the easiest question in detailing 5 minutes ago. Now he's a know-it-all on Facebook. I'm just here to tell you, man, the guys that you want to learn from are not in Facebook groups giving their opinion on random shit all day long. And so the levels to this, I guess to me, is understanding who is good information is the number one thing that's going to level you up or down. I've watched more guys ruin their business in my career listening to the wrong people. Marty, you did an episode with a gentleman who closed his shop because he listened to three old timers that turns out they never ran a shop. They were just some people he knew in his area, right? Was he ever going to level up, Marty? No, because he didn't listen to anybody that knew what they were talking about. And so I don't really get into this thinking of who's does the highest level detailing. I just get into it from a business aspect. And I also understand the internet. I understand that there's some value there, but there's some places where there's no value for me. And so that's where I come out on it.
Well, where do you think that, as far as high level, I mean, how did we kind of still, how are we still there as far as, I mean, we got guys working on historic cars as if that's what people do anymore. We got guys working on, you know, collections that nobody will ever probably see in person and saying, this is how we do stuff. But that doesn't help anybody. And I think of being a high level detailer is having good information that you can share and give and come across the right way. And also, you know, take the hits. You know, sometimes you're not, like you said, I don't know everything. And if someone's like, well, you know, this is how we really do it, and this is not, it's a good conversation. But there's a lot of guys that dig in, like, die on that hill. You know, nope, this is what you do. Yeah, you got to put, you know, 4 ounces of soap, not five. And that's just it, you know, or you're.
Well, I think that's why you see so many people in our position, and not just ours, but multitude of people, we could say, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to put information out on their page on something they own, or they're not going to do anything on the internet. Right. And so if they don't make the choice to put it out on their own page, they don't do it at all. They don't go to Facebook groups. They don't. We have lost a lot in this business. I think Marty can speak to this as well. The shame is that the 5 to 10 people that are the most interesting to talk to for Marty and I about this business, meaning like the chemical side, the chemistry side, how this has all worked over the last 25 years, guys full of stories of the biggest business deals in this industry, they largely have never spoken publicly. And at SEMA, most people walk right by those individuals and go to somebody else in that booth, right? So if I were going to tell everybody out there, the 5 or 10 guys that Marty and I lean on behind the scenes in this business, you couldn't pick them out of, the guys listening couldn't pick them out of a lineup, right? So most of the guys doing, they're at a tool company, they're putting on the trainings, they're the face of the company. They're not a decision maker even a little bit. Nobody's listening to them. Matter of fact, the meeting I was in, he got kicked out of. Hey, we'll talk, the CEO will talk to Nick. You go out there. But everybody would go walk and talk to that guy and miss the guy that was sitting back here in the glass behind the booth, and they just don't know, right? So I think that's what is the shame of this business. The people that we want to hear from publicly, like you said, guys going on and training on a 1942 horse and carriage that no one's ever going to detail, that doesn't help anybody. And everybody has a right to do it. But I think what we have now is we have siloed information. We have a podcast. We have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook group. So we just put stuff there and largely don't interact anywhere else because there's not a lot of value in it. And that kind of sucks because, like you said, Brian, I'd love for people to interact and go back and forth and share great information. It just doesn't seem that's where we're at in the world at this point.
Because
people don't want to get knocked on. Nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody wants to make a comment and have 50 idiots jump on top of you. Because what are you going to defend? You know, be like, all 50 of you guys are wrong.
Nick and I talk about the value of our time, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and argue all night long or all day long with you. I'm going to make a couple points. Like on that post, guy kept going on. He kept talking to himself. I was done and just kept making another comment. It's like, okay, we're good. Thank you. You're right. Yeah. Have a great, great, great time. But that's where we're at. Nobody wants to deal with, and that's why we don't have the people like Nick's talking about. Nobody wants to deal with that crap. Nobody wants to sit there and argue with you. I'm just trying to share some good information. Take it or leave it.
Especially the guys that have made money.
There's so much riffraff in a sense.
But right.
Well, not Marty, not like money. Here's what Marty and I have heard from multiple people. They're so ashamed about who's become the public. I mean, there's one face that always comes up, but there's a few faces that these guys go, these guys are the biggest frauds in the world. That's their words.
Right.
These guys are the biggest frauds in the world, and they've taken a hold of the detailing industry, and I don't want my name associated with those people, so I don't talk publicly. These are guys, some of them have made millions of dollars on deals. Some of them have financed the biggest deals. Some of them have closed the biggest deals. Some of them know how all of this works, and they'd be just goldmine that people would listen to for hours. Because Marty, you and I can listen to them for hours, right? And ask them questions. And okay, how did this work? Hey man, what do you think here? We're in a real position now where, because of what's happened on the internet, there's positive from that. But one of the biggest negatives is, man, the riffraff on the internet has made it so real big decision makers don't want to get involved in that world. And they're just like, hey man, I'm going to be up in my big house, living my great life with my great family, and I'm going to make all this money. No one's going to know who I am except the people I need to talk to. And they're just sitting on piles of great information, but they don't want to, like Brian did. You don't have to reclaim water. Just, I live by a waterway. I don't have to reclaim water. You know, don't tell people they have to reclaim their water. That's not exactly true. And then he just takes heat from the same two people for 3 hours on Facebook. Why would Brian's less likely to post the next time? That's what actually happens. That's the real world result of that.
So we, most of us that are listening are probably going, listen, I've got a dream. I want to get to the next level, right? There's a difference of having a dream and maintaining that dream, right? I mean, all of us can understand the analogy of whether that's a car, right? This dream of owning a car and then maintaining that car. Brian, as your world's continuing to explode of all these people that own boats, now they got to get their boat out of storage, get it out on the water. They've got to come to you to get it cleaned up, as well as then maybe some people come to buy products to clean it up for themselves. But there does become a part of maintaining the dream. Having a dream and then maintaining it, it takes work, right? Whether it's work to figure out what to use, work to actually do it, work to push through all the difficulties. I think the cool part about the moment we live in now, for the three of us and for everybody that's listening, is this moment of, hey, I can actually buy in to this $5.08 billion commerce. And whatever level we're at and the next level that we want to get to, we can now buy in to that part. We had a new guy, brand new, I love it. Happy to announce Keva has now bought into distribution. He told me about stuff that he was excited is going to fly off the shelf and this, and that, right? Full of all kinds of dreams and optimism, which most of us are, right? Like ready to go take our part, becoming the specialist in our area. That's cool. That's cool. We get a chance now. Because the listeners have listened to you, Brian, because they have taken the time to understand what you put out, Nick, like we do get the rare opportunity to go, hey, this is the way. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of people talking about fear, a lot of people talking about things you shouldn't do and things. Brian, give a moment to say why you first started getting into products and then what it's been like for you to help you get to the next level. We all want to get there. We all want to be a part.
I looked at it as just missed opportunity. I guess I didn't realize how easy it was to get into products. I think might've been my biggest hang up because maybe it was some of that fear out there. It was like, oh, you know, you gotta have all this, you gotta do this. And it wasn't, I talked to you and you told me this is what we do. This is our processes or stages that we can get into. And it was fairly simple. And why would I want to miss out on a sale? That's the way I've always looked at it. Why do I want to miss out on a, everybody talks about these add-ons, you know, you see it everywhere. Oh, I got an add-on. I got this. You got to have an add-on. You do this add-on, you make money. Well, selling products is an easy add-on. The customer just spent X amount of dollars to get their car cleaned. A lot of our customers we don't see on a regular basis. We generally do the car and then they go home and we don't see the car again. It might be a year, might not be ever, but they still want to take care of it. I mean, spent the money. So for us, it was an opportunity to sell more products. You know, we didn't want to miss out on that. It's fairly easy to talk about, you sell a gallon of soap, sell some slick, sell some tire cleaner. So, I mean, adds up pretty quick. I'm a bucket.
We should. At this point, there's that where people go, hey, fear of missing out is, I mean, this is a part that we should have a little fear of missing out is what you're saying. Like, hey, yeah. I didn't want to keep letting this opportunity pass me by.
I'm not going to say it's going to cause you to close up shop or anything, but it's free money. It really is. If you have the products there, it's the stuff you use in the shop. That's another thing. This is what we use in our shop. It's not like, well, I did it with this, but you know, you can use this stuff to take care of it. No, this same stuff we prep the car with. This is the same stuff we use to do the process. You can go home and you can maintain it. It's all the same products, same product line. It's great. People do feel comfortable about it. Plus, there are, as you talk to people, there are tons of detailers. And everybody's like, oh, so there's another detailer by it. Why not sell to them? That's what we do. I mean, all the companies around to us, we're pretty much selling to. If we haven't started selling to them yet, I'm working on selling to them. It's just a good opportunity to cash in on something that's there because most people aren't going to take advantage of it. You're not going to start selling products, then Dave down the street, the mobile detailers, will start selling products. It's just not going to happen. You're pretty protected, not because it's a territorial thing, but people aren't going to do it. It took you to a lot to decide to do it. So why is that guy? You think he's going to do it?
Now,
it's just an opportunity.
You used a word there that you said simple. And I'm glad that you used that word. Nick, we specifically tried to make this a simple step for people that have started to hear about products, have started, and to keep them from, you know, we don't want to be the fear people, but we want to also go, listen, as this industry's continued to blossom and grow, just the same as there's bad people out putting bad information, there's plenty of people putting out information. Hey, just come grab this full lineup, throw your logo on it. Listen, I laugh. We all inner dialogue laugh of people that are starting to go, hey, look at me. Now I got a product. And they even use the same logo as the other people that they got it from. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people trying to cash in at this moment because of that $5.08 billion. But Nick, as soon as we had caution of the other stuff, there's a moment that we should have caution here.
Well, I think people have followed us long enough to say Brian uses the word simple because from a business perspective, it is simple. If you're willing to put money behind it and effort behind it, business is pretty simple, right? I mean, that's where everybody gets lost, is that to buy products, you're going to have to put money out to buy them, right? So that's $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is level you want to go. So you got to put money out, then you got to put the effort in to get the money back and sell some customers and build a customer base and let people know you're there. If you look at it, that's the fact that most people don't want to accept, is that you're going to have to save some money so you can buy some things, and then you're going to have to go put some effort in, right? We've seen people blow this opportunity, not only through HyperClean, but other people we know in the business that have signed up distribution contracts and they're like, man, this guy just missed a boat, and then we got this other guy in his area, and he's killing it. What an unfortunate thing. Because, look, man, I'm never going to sell somebody that the grass is greener. There's a lot of money in chemicals. If you are a good detailer, you know more about chemicals than anyone else selling chemicals in your area, and I will stand by that, because you have no idea how little distribution houses know about what they're selling. Absolutely. The guy driving the truck, the big outfit, they don't know what they're talking about. And that's not me banging on them. I've said that to their face. Like, Marty, we got customers who are like, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. And they're driving their truck around. They've been doing it 23 years, still don't know what a tire cleaner is. I mean, you guys think I'm joking? I'm not. It's dead serious. Detailers know more about chemicals than anybody in their area. And if you want a chance to make money, you just got to remember something. It's effort and putting money behind that effort. You do that, there's people walking with $60, $80, $100, $200,000 or more at the end of the year added to their bottom line by just this simple thing. If you want to take advantage of it, take advantage of it. But we're not going to lie to you. The reason Brian says it's simple is because Brian knows things cost money and then he's got to give the effort. That's what all this is. I mean, it is simple in that way.
And yeah, it's not an instant return. You know, there's work to it. I think that's the, like we spoke about before, the gratification, instant gratification a lot of detailers want. They want to do the job, get paid right there and be done. Well, my check, I need to go. And that's not the case with chemicals. You are going to buy it. You do have to sell it. You do have to, you're going to have product on the shelves. You're going to, it's a process. You're going to keep inventory. And that's hard for a lot of detailers who can't keep inventory to do the job themselves that they're trying to do, that don't have enough product. They're panicking. I need this next night. So you are going to have to keep inventory in your store or wherever you do it. But it's also every person you turn away, I don't want to say turn away, but every person that says no to you because you're too expensive, because they didn't want to get it done, they changed their mind. All you do, we end every conversation, hey, if you want to do the car yourself, we sell all the products that we use. You're more welcome to come in. We'll show you how to use whatever you need for what you're looking to get done, whether you just want to clean your inside, you want to do outside. We have a great ceramic coating you can do yourself at home. We'll show you how to do it. So if it's something you want to do yourself, come into the store. We'll help you out. We'll sell you the product. it's just another opportunity to sell something that might never be a customer. But it's hard for a lot of guys to wrap their head around that.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But it is the way, right? For those of us that look around, whatever we see on social, whatever we look on the internet, and we all have this dream of where the next level that we want to be, right? What do we want to achieve? As we all begin to think about that, a big way for those of us that want to achieve it is to go to the hypercleanstore.com, fill out the contact form, and talk about how they can buy in. They can buy into that $5.0 billion, like $5 billion. How do I buy in?
Yeah,
how do I get to be a part of that?
People are always changing. I mean, think how many, when you were starting off, how many times do you change a product? Because you, I want to try this, I want to try that, I want to try this, I want to try that. I mean, everybody's changing products. So it's, if it's something new, you can fairly easily turn somebody on and get them hooked on a product. And especially like you said, Nick said, you have more information than anybody. You have more information than the parts store is going to give them. You have more information than any of the truck guys are going to give you. And detailers have to know that if they bought anything off a truck, it's usually like, hey, what do I use in this? I don't know. Try this. And then they give you a bottle. Well, that sucked. Try this. And it's just another one. Then you, but you still bought it. You know, you're like, oh, I'll buy it.
Those businesses should be called I don't know distributing.
Right.
I mean,
but that's what we dealt with. We would buy it. Well, he said it's worth a try, I guess. So I'll spend the $20 or $30. So it's just a lot of, it's, there's just opportunity. And it's whether you want to take it, whether you want to dive into it. It is work. It's no different than any other. I mean,
Brian, would you say it's more fun though? I mean,
absolutely.
You're having a lot more fun now today. I mean, yes. You're putting YouTube videos out. You know, you're always constantly sending me cool stuff like, hey, check this out. Got this order. There, you know, we can get so lost into how taxing detailing is, right, especially for you guys doing it every day. The product side, it doesn't start out the most fun because you're trying to get it off the ground. But the minute you get some momentum, it's the most fun. It's the most fun you can have. Period.
Hey, you get a $200 order, and it's like, wow, I really didn't do much for that $200 order. Yep. And but it's also fun because somebody bought that because of me. Generally, they saw me whether on, you know, YouTube, or they saw a post on Facebook, or they talked to me in person, and they bought that product because they trusted me. And it is a good feeling. And I didn't have to pick up a buffer. I didn't have to pick up a polisher. I didn't get dirty as hell doing it. And in my head, that customer is going to buy more. It's not just like, well, he bought $200. Well, he's going to burn through that product fairly quickly if he enjoys detailing. And he's probably going to talk to his neighbor. He's probably going to talk to his buddy. He's probably going to, or he might be on a forum. You know, hey, I use this. Go to, you know, DIYMarineAutoDetail.com and you can grab some there. They'll help you out. It's
nice
great.
Drop. Nice
hey,
drop.
We're gonna blank that out. We're gonna blank that out.
We're just trying to get paid one way or another.
No free advertising here.
I told you it's fun.
Love it. Nice.
I love it, man.
It's cool. And if anybody ever has questions, I'm always on specialist group. You know, if you're not sure, like, hey, you know, how does this work? What did you do? I'm always around for general questions and motivation, if you want to say, it's not right for everybody. I'm not saying everybody should do this, but if you're already established and you're running a business fairly well, this is it's kind of a no-brainer of selling product. It's no different when ceramic coating came out, I guess. Like, why aren't you doing ceramic coating? And a lot of people probably dug their heels in. Well, I'm not doing that. I don't think it's a good product or whatever.
That's a great analogy. Listen, a lot of us have a lot of things to think about, don't we? We got to think about Brian's knock on the church during Good Friday, but at the same time,
when I'm about to get on a plane, Brian, we know doors are flying off Boeing planes every day.
I'll be watching the news on Sunday. I'll see Boeing's. I'll be like, I know where that plane was going.
Yeah.
Was that Tulsa?
I'm going to get on and tell the pilot, said, hey, I got this weird situation. Dude was going crazy about God middle of a podcast. You think we're good? Any instrument goes crazy, but I need you to deplane here.
And at the same time, we also got to take a look, what most of us do, of where do we want to be, right? Like, where do we want to end up? And how do we get to that next level? Most of us need to start digging our heels in and getting ourselves prepared to take that 5.08% billion. 5.08 billion. What percentage are you? All right, let's go. Guys, great episode. Thanks so much. Good talk.
All right, guys.